just around the time the city council went back and forth over the revised non-discrimination ordinance, adding sexual orientation and gender identity to the list of protected groups in San Antonio, a case hinging on gender identity harassment was brewing. It all began last September. Matthew Heilman, a transgender man, was working at AT&T through a specialized consulting firm called Resource Global Professionals, RGP. An affidavit obtained by Texas Public Radio says the day before the NDO passed, Heilman overheard two AT&T employees talking about the ordinance in a public environment. The statement says the employees expressed their desire and willingness to commit acts of violence against transgender people, especially if they were discovered in the restroom. That alarmed Heilman, and at this point, no one in the department knew Heilman was a transgender man. But after Heilman reported the employees, a supervisor revealed to them Heilman's transgender status. Heilman's attorney, Justin Nichols, describes what happened next.
It was escalated to the point that he came back to his office and had the no fags sign written on his chair.
Nichols said the sign resembled a no smoking symbol with a circle and line through it. When he found the sign, Heilman immediately left the office in fear.
He left work that day, emailed his supervisors and said, "I'm not able to work in this environment anymore."
The city's policy says that any company that contracts services with the city, including AT&T, must follow the non-discrimination ordinance. Company spokesperson Marty Richter says AT&T makes diversity and inclusion a top priority and reminded us the company received a number one ranking this year on the top employers for LGBT employees. And every year since 2004, he says, AT&T has received a perfect score on the Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index for fair treatment of its LGBT employees.
"We don't tolerate discrimination of any sort, including that based on sexual orientation or gender identity, age, race, ethnicity, religion, or national origin. We took Mr. Heilman's allegations very seriously and carefully investigated, and we're cooperating with the city, but our investigation was unable to substantiate his allegations."
It remains unclear what process was used to come to that conclusion, who conducted the investigation, and how long it took. According to a deposition, Heilman says he thought he would keep his job with RGP by being reassigned. But after filing for unemployment and receiving no objection, the document says he took that as a sign he'd been terminated. The consulting firm RGP says they reached out to Heilman for 90 days, asking for him to update his profile and resume, and if he would be interested in several other assignments. But the company's chief legal officer, Kate Duchesne, says he never returned correspondence. She says if an employee isn't assigned within 90 days, the employee involuntarily separates from RGP for legal reasons. Duchesne says RGP really liked Heilman as an employee and added, "Our client really liked him and respected his work."
"I can tell you we never discriminated against Matt or retaliated against him for reporting the alleged incidents at AT&T. Instead, we fully supported him throughout his employment with us and only separated his employment after he failed to communicate with us and we believed that he had moved on."
Even though AT&T's investigation cleared its employees from any claims of harassment against a transgender person, Heilman's attorney still has a bone to pick with the city. First, he says there's no easy way to file the complaint.
"So finding out who this person was to complain to was our first challenge. The city attorney's office eventually agreed to receive it. So we wrote a letter and outlining in pretty specific detail Mr. Heilman's complaints."
And second, Nichols says the city told him they are ready to respond if AT&T's investigation revealed wrongdoing, but it didn't. And Nichols wonders what the city will do now.
"I think that this is a good test to see what the NDO is made of, if it's going to do what it was intended to do, that the hours and hours and thousands of people who weighed in, that the ultimate decision that was made will actually be given effect."
Deputy City Attorney Veronica Zertucci admitted a clear avenue for filing a complaint hasn't been worked out yet, although she says she's working on a comprehensive website that'll be live in July. Consequences of a city contractor like AT&T failing to comply with the non-discrimination ordinance could lead to the city ending that contract. Zertucci says the city council would have to discuss the case.
"We want all of our contractors to comply with all the provisions of their ordinance, of their particular contracts with the city, including this particular one. You know, where warranted, we will be in discussions with the council about the remedies that they'd like to take against any contractor for any deviations from the requirements of their contract.
Heilman now works in Austin and commutes back home to San Antonio every day after work. His attorney says aside from the city's NDO, he may seek damages from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
I am really shocked that two large, otherwise well-respected organizations who talk a good game about equality don't seem to be able to admit that there were some mistakes made here and show their commitment to equality by just doing the right thing and having a conversation. That's really all we've ever asked for. And unfortunately, we haven't gotten it.
Nichols says a revised non-discrimination ordinance meant to protect more people has only, in this case, caused more finger-pointing instead. Ryan Lloyd, Texas Public Radio News.